Welcome to the Android Guys in Brief podcast, the 15-minute tech news podcast that never lasts for just 15 minutes. Today is June 5th, 2018, and my name is Matt Adams, and I'm the managing editor here at Android Guys. And joining me today, we have Andrew Myrick, who is another of our managing editors. Andrew, how are you doing today?
Doing all right, Matt. How about you?
Oh, can't complain. Glad to be here doing this, breathing air. Every day above ground is a good day.
That is very true.
So we have a couple interesting topics today. Computex is going on where we've seen a lot of news out of, but we'll save that to the end. First, why don't you tell us about the new Google update that's coming out?
Yeah, so Google has released a security patch for June. And as they normally do, this is first coming to Nexus and Pixel phones with the dates of June 1st and June 5th. And then it's going to be up to individual OEMs to update their hardware with the latest security patches. But it seems that Google found a bunch of vulnerabilities impacting the Android runtime framework, media framework, and system software, as well as finding component-level issues with hardware from LG, MediaTek, NVIDIA, and Qualcomm. Google has already said that it's informed the hardware partners about the issues about 30 days ago, which means that they should already be working on fixes to roll out to users. And surprisingly, to a certain extent, these vulnerabilities have not been exploited by hackers just yet, which is pretty, it's a pretty good feeling to know that there's no major vulnerabilities, because usually Google's trying to fix something that should not have been a problem to begin with.
Yeah, we see a lot of reactions instead of going and hitting these out before they're even an issue. So is this just our normal standard monthly security update, or is this something that we need to pay attention to a little bit more?
It seems like it's just our normal standard thing, but it'll be interesting to see how LG, MediaTek, NVIDIA, and Qualcomm respond and how fast they roll out updates to whatever the specific hardware that's affected.
All right, cool. So our second story today is Google Lens actually is moving out of other apps and getting its own standalone app. And that's not to say that it won't be available in things like Google Photos, but now you can download an actual Google Lens standalone app. Now, Google Lens, if you don't know, lets you hold up your camera and gives you an augmented reality view of the world. You know, you can select text that you see on your screen. It'll identify different buildings, you know, stuff like that. If you see a cool shirt or a jacket on someone, an actress or an actor, snap a picture, you know, it may give you suggestions on where to find that. But now it's its own standalone app. You don't have to use Google Photos or Google Assistant where it had lived before. Unfortunately, not well received so far. We're seeing ratings of 2.6 over 2,000 reviews so far. People are complaining about it not accurately identifying objects so far or partially identifying objects. So, you know, there's some good review, there's some bad reviews. What do you think about this, Andrew? Do you think it's really fair to judge the technology harshly when it feels like it's still just a beta app right now?
Yes, and the only reason why I feel that way is because if it was still in beta, then Google should have explicitly stated that it was still in beta or opened a beta program for it, like it does with other applications. Mm-hmm. And they may have one, but I haven't seen one yet. The other weird thing is that it's not available on all devices. Like looking through my device list, like it works on the S9, Huawei Mate 10, but like smaller other phones like even the Asus Zenfone AR, it doesn't work with, or the Huawei Mate SE, it doesn't work with those. So it's going to be, I want to see how Google's going to work this out and see if it can work out the bugs. Obviously, yeah. It's the technology is still in beta, and they're going to be improving it a lot. But seeing these low ratings as soon as it's announced isn't all that surprising to me.
Yeah, me either. I also think people don't understand the technology necessarily. And where they're coming from and where it's headed. But it's interesting to me that what you brought up, that it's not available on a bunch of different devices yet, because as I sit here and look through my device list too, I at first I thought it was you had to be on a certain software level to get it. But I've definitely got some tablets and stuff on here that have Android Oreo that it is not available for. So we'll have to see what that restriction is and if they open it up here soon.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, what else you got for us?
Next up, we have G Suite users and all Gmail users will be getting the new redesign within the next month.
Woohoo!
What was it? Back in April, Google finally announced a redesign for the desktop, for the web client experience on Gmail, which was so long overdue. But it seems like, but that was only available to certain folks. Not everybody got it. Now G Suite users are getting on board. It seems like it's starting in July for general availability. Users will still be able to opt out for now, but Google may end up forcing users to stick with the new redesign in the future once all of the bugs have been worked out. And then Google also says after 12 weeks of the availability announcement, they will be moving all users to the new look, even if they've previously opted out. So it's definitely worth the update. You, if you're a regular Gmail user, this will be a very, very good thing to see. Very good thing to see.
You've been using it for a while. What do you think about it?
I love it. I when I'm on my computer, I've stopped using my dedicated email, like my separate email app, if I need to get into Gmail for stuff, because I like the way that the Gmail app, the Gmail web client looks much better. It's just clean. It's easier on the eyes. It doesn't look like it's 5-10 years old. So yeah,
I was absolutely in love with Inbox, but as soon as this free design came out, I switched back over to Gmail. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So the big news out of Computex yesterday, Asus, brand new ROG phone. If you don't know, ROG stands for Republic of Gamers. So this is a phone much like the Razer phone that is designed for those gamers. Asus says they worked with Qualcomm and built this phone from the ground up around a custom version of the Qualcomm Snapdragon 845. These higher bend chips can be clocked up to 2.96 gigahertz, which the Qualcomm Snapdragon 845 that you'll find in your S9 or something like that, those only clock up to 2.8. Now with more speed, you know, more demanding processor, you're going to get more heat. Asus has included, this is crazy to me. They have included a huge heat pipe to move all of that heat off the phone. And there's even some cool accessories that they've got going on with it. Some other specs that, you know, you would expect in something like this. It's got 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigabytes of storage, the Adreno 630 GPU. Andrew, what do you think about this thing? Do you think gaming phones are finally going to be a thing? Just tell me what you think about this.
No, I do not. I think it's going to be, I think gaming specific phones outside of maybe Razer, depending upon what they do with the next iteration. It's just going to be a niche market. I don't think they're going to sell the way that these OEMs are maybe expecting them to. I mean, I could be wrong about that. I just don't think the everyday person is going to fork out a bunch of money for a specific gaming phone. Mm-hmm. But I could be wrong about that. What I'm impressed with is the 4,000 milliamp hour battery on it with rapid recharging. I think that if you're going to make a gaming phone, you need to pack a huge battery into it.
That's the same as the Razer phone, right?
I believe so, yeah. If not, it's very close to it. They're very close to each other.
I agree with you. You've got to have a huge power pack because some of these games just can kill your battery. And, you know, I think what you're saying is true. These are going to be niche-type phones. You see, you know, I wonder if you sit down and look how much of the laptop market are gaming laptops compared to just regular laptops. And I would bet that even a smaller fraction of phones would be gaming phones than that. So I'm wondering where their market is for that, because, you know, people love games, but do we really need super huge batteries and faster processors to play the games that we have right now?
If we have more games like Fortnite and what's the other one called?
PUBG.
Yeah, Fortnite and PUBG, if more games like that continue to be released, then yeah, I could see more of these options being available.
Yeah, it would be cool to see some of the bigger titles from PC come to mobile like that. And maybe this is a case of if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, but the one thing that has me on the fence is the pricing. Asus did not share pricing.
Yeah, that scares
whenever,
me.
Yeah, whenever an OEM doesn't share pricing in an announcement, granted, it could be, we could see some type of formal announcement next week, but if they haven't announced pricing yet, it's either because they haven't figured it out yet or it's going to break your bank.
Yeah, this goes on sale next quarter. I mean, that's not that far away. And to have a phone that you're going to announce but not release pricing for when it's going on sale in a couple months, that's interesting to me. Now, I will say we don't normally see pricing details when, you know, LG releases the G6 or G7 or whatever, but this is different. You know, this brand new phone in the segment.
Right. We know what to expect when LG releases those phones.
Right.
Without sharing pricing. We know we have a general idea where it's going to be at, but Asus is coming onto the scene here with a brand new device. It's like you said earlier, it's built from the ground up with help from Qualcomm on the processor. Like, custom stuff is going to be more expensive. I mean, you've got a vented copper cooling panel on the back, and then you've got all these different accessories, including one that is a snap-on fan to cool the phone. Like, these things are going to cost the consumer a decent chunk of money.
Right. And if let's take a look at Motorola, who does, you know, modular stuff on the back of their phones, you know, those things can be anywhere from $150 to $300. And that stuff, like a battery pack or, you know, a speaker, this is a cooler that gives you an extra USB Type-C port and an extra 3.5mm port. I mean, I bet this is pretty well engineered and it's going to cost a decent amount just for that. So it wouldn't surprise me to see this phone in the $800 to $900 range with, you know, accessories in the $200 to $300 range.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for today. This has been In Brief, the 15-Minute Tech Podcast that never lasts for just 15 minutes. If you like what you heard today, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, Simplecast, Pocket Cast, and Stitcher. For Andrew Myrick, this is Matt Adams. Thanks for joining us, and I'll catch you next time.